And God specifically said that these things should be in the Ark of the Covenant. And why did he say these things should be in there? Because there was a message that God wanted to get in their hearts and in their minds and for them to always remember as they traveled throughout the wilderness and as they entered into the promised land. And so we see the first thing that was in the Ark of the Covenant was the pot of manna. And this was a reminder of God's
provision. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the William, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of the Ark of the Covenant from our series, Let Your Glory Fill This Place. So let's join Dr. Galais for the first half of the Ark of the Covenant.
We're going to continue our series today, and our series has been entitled, Let Your Glory Fill This Place. And you know, again, I've just been convicted that when I preached that message on the altar of incense and how it talked about intercession, and that if we want God's glory to fill this place, that we want this place to be a place of intercession where we are lifting up, you know, the petitions and supplications unto the Lord. And so, you know, as we move throughout this summer and throughout the rest of the year, I'd like to insert times of intercession, you know, within our worship service. So you'll see that coming up in future services. But as we come today, this is actually one of my favorite parts of the furniture, actually this week and next week. This week we're going to talk about the Ark of the Covenant. And then next week we're going to talk about the lid that covered the Ark of the Covenant, which was known as the mercy seat. And so as we come today, I'm going to ask this, if you can, that you would stand as we read the Word of God. And again, I've been reading this same passage every week because it fits in with the theme of our service. Exodus 40, 33 through 38 in the easy to read version. So Moses finished all the work. Then the cloud covered the meeting tent, and the glory of the Lord filled the holy tent. Let your glory fill this place. Moses could not enter into the meeting tent because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord had filled the holy tent. Let your glory fill this place. When the cloud rose from the holy tent, the Israelites would begin to travel. But when the cloud stayed on the holy tent, the people did not try to move. They stayed in that place until the cloud rose. So the cloud of the Lord was over all the holy tent during the day, and at night there was a fire in the cloud, so all the Israelites could see the cloud while they traveled. Today's message is about reminders. It's a reminder of God's provision, a reminder of God's ordained leadership, and a reminder to keep and obey the law of God. There was a song that came out, and it said, send me forget-me-nots to help me to remember. So we see in the Word of God, and specifically, as we look at the Ark of the Covenant, that God is going to send his people forget-me-nots to help them to remember. And so we want to look at what God said to them, and we want to allow that to encourage us to receive those forget-me-nots also. As we've been looking at the tabernacle, as far as an overview is concerned, just again, now we've been going over this for the last month and a half. So everybody in here that's been here on a consistent basis, you ought to know the layout of the tabernacle now. You should have a good idea how the tabernacle was laid out. You see that when you entered at the bottom, when you entered the gate, the first thing you saw was the altar, the brazen altar, where they offered the sacrifices. And then the priest would move to that next piece of furniture, which was called the laver, the bronze laver. And that's where they cleansed themselves in preparation for service. And then you moved into the tent, right? And as you moved into the tent, you saw three objects in the tent. On the left hand, you saw the golden candlestick or the lampstand. On the right, you saw the table of showbread. And before you went into the Holy of Holies, you saw the altar of incense. And then there was the veil. And so finally, we're going to go behind the veil today. And we're going to enter into the Holy of Holies. And we see as we enter into the Holy of Holies, we are going to talk about the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant. So what happened to the Ark? All this furniture that we see, people have asked, well, what happened to it? And so we might ask the question, what happened to the Ark? Well, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened to the Ark. If you go to that next slide, you remember this? Indiana Jones found the Ark, right? He found the Ark, so we don't need to worry about it anymore. You know, it's already been located. See, that's why you can't believe everything that Hollywood puts out, right? You know, Hollywood puts out a lot of movies. You know, I wrote a book on heaven. And one of the things that I talked about in the opening of the book is that there's a lot of movies about heaven. And so sometimes people have a tendency to take their theology from Hollywood, and you can't do that. So even in this case, you can't take your theology from Hollywood. So no, Indiana Jones did not find the Ark of the Covenant. So here are some suggestions as to what might have happened to the Ark of the Covenant. We know from Bible history that Nebuchadnezzar came in three times and took siege of the city of Jerusalem. And you know, we understand that on several occasions he took back some holy vessels from Jerusalem. So some people believe that when Nebuchadnezzar, one of the three times that he seized the city of Jerusalem, that he took the Ark of the Covenant back to Babylon. And after that, you know, somehow got misplaced or lost, but it was taken to Babylon. A second one, and I would have a tendency to lean towards this one, because when the city of Jerusalem was destroyed and the walls were burned down, you remember that Jeremiah, he wrote the book of Lamentations. And Jeremiah lamented over the city. And as we read the Lamentations of Jeremiah, we see that he was still alive in the city when everything was destroyed. And so some people believe that Jeremiah went into the temple and that he took the Ark of the Covenant. And many scholars believe that he took it to Mount Nebo, the place where Moses died. And so it's located somewhere there. Now, there are many rabbis today that truly believe, and a couple rabbis said that they've seen it, that is actually buried under the Temple Mount. But they can't go into the Temple Mount for the simple fact that the Dome of the Rock is on the Temple Mount, and the Muslims are not going to allow them to go and dig to try to find the Ark of the Covenant, because if they found that, you know, you can imagine how much Christianity and biblical history would be verified. So the Muslims are not going to let the archaeologists dig to find the Ark of the Covenant. But there are several rabbis that said that they have actually seen it there. So the fact is we don't know what happened to the ark, but it's probably somewhere here on this earth, and maybe at that precise time, God will allow the Ark of the Covenant to come forth. So we'll see, and time will tell. As we look at the materials of the Ark of the Covenant, like with many of the other pieces of furniture, it was made of acacia wood. And if you ever do a study on acacia wood, sometimes in the Bible, sometimes it's referenced as shittim wood or gopher wood. But one of the reasons that God chose acacia wood was because of its weather resistance, and also as far as termites and ants and things like that, that it would not destroy the furniture that was made with this type of wood. And so God took this wood and overlaid it with gold. And we see that when they got ready to transport it, that there were actually two poles that were made of acacia wood, and they were also overlaid with gold. The position of the Ark of the Covenant, as I was doing study and doing research, somebody said that the Ark was located in the most sacred place on this earth, you know, at the time. The most sacred place on this earth was in the Holy of Holies, and that's where the Ark of the Covenant was located. What was the function of the Ark? Well, the Shekinah glory of God rested above the Ark. And again, next week, we're going to look at the mercy seat. But the mercy seat was on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And God said in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 22 that I will meet with you there above the mercy seat. So the function of the Ark of the Covenant, it was the place that God met with his people. It was the place where God met with the high priest. Now, what was in the Ark of the Covenant? Well, as I was researching, there was a lot of controversy as to what was in the Ark of the Covenant. I'm going to give you three suggestions and tell you which one that I think is right. And so you can believe like you want to believe and be wrong, or you can believe like your pastor and be right. Some say there were five things in the ark. There was the golden pot of manna, and we're going to talk about that. There was Aaron's rod that was in the Ark of the Covenant. And then some Jewish rabbis say articles 3 and 4 were the tables of the covenant, or the Ten Commandments. And so you remember the first time when Moses received the Ten Commandments, he went up and he came down, and Aaron had led the people, and they made that golden calf, right? And Moses was hot. He was upset, and he broke the commandments. And so he had to go back and get another two tables of the Ten Commandments. And so some people say that in the Ark of the Covenant was also the broken commandments that Moses broke, and then the new commandments, or the whole commandments that God gave him that second time. And so that would be items 3 and 4, the broken tablets and the whole tablets. And then in Deuteronomy 31, God told Moses to put the books of Moses in the Ark of the Covenant. So some people say that there were actually five things in the Ark. Now you move to this next view, and some people say, well, there were just three things in the Ark. If you read Hebrews 9:4, and this is basically where this comes from, it says the three things that were in the Ark were the golden pot of manna, Aaron's rod, and the tables of the covenant, or the Ten Commandments. So that would be view number two. And then when we move to the third view, it said there was just one thing in the ark, and that was the Ten Commandments, you know, the tables. And it said that actually, if you go back and you look at the golden pot of manna and Aaron's rod, it said to put that before the Ark of the Testimony. So a lot of people believe that these things weren't to be placed in the Ark of the Covenant, but they were to be placed outside. So there's a lot of controversy, but I'm going to go with Hebrews 9:4, and this is what I believe, that there's actually three things. There were three things that were in the ark, and that was the golden pot of manna, that was Aaron's rod, and that was the Ten Commandments, the table of the covenant. So let's look at these three things this morning. And just think, you know, we talked about God said that, well, I quoted that song, send me forget-me-nots to help me to remember. And God specifically said that these things should be in the Ark of the Covenant. And why did he say these things should be in there? Because there was a message that God wanted to get in their hearts and in their minds and for them to always remember as they traveled throughout the wilderness and as they entered into the promised land. And so we see the first thing that was in the Ark of the Covenant was the pot of manna. And this was a reminder of God's provision. In Exodus chapter 16, verses 32 through 35, God instructed Moses to put the pot of manna in the Ark of the Covenant. And this was to be a reminder to them that God was the one who provided for them. That as they journeyed through the wilderness, God rained down manna for them to eat. And the manna came 6 days. And on the sixth day, they were to take double because he didn't want them to go out on the seventh day. And he wasn't dropping any manna from the sky on the seventh day. So on the sixth day, he told them to take double, and that would cover the provisions for that day. And for 40 years, God provided manna. And as soon as they hit the promised land, the manna stopped. And you know why it stopped? I was wondering, well, why did it stop then? Because God had allowed them to enter into the land of promise. And you remember before, when they spied out the land, he said it was a fruitful land. He said it was a prosperous land. He said it was a fertile land. And so once they entered into the land, that they would enter, partake of the fruits of the promised land. And so when they entered in, God stopped the manna. But God said, send me forget-me-nots and help you to remember. He said, put a pot of manna in the covenant and let that always be a reminder that I took care of you while you were in the wilderness, that I provided for you while you were out there trying to sojourn to the promised land. And as we look at the New Testament parallel. I love Philippians 4:19 because in Philippians 4, God is talking about those who support the ones who are doing the work of God. Specifically, Paul was a missionary, and God said that, well, let's look at that. I have part of it quoted on the screen there, but let's look at that, Philippians, and probably don't even need to look at it because most of y'all probably have memorized it, all right? And you can quote it. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Not only does it say God will supply all our need, but notice where he does it from. Out of his riches, not your riches, that he will supply out of his riches in glory. And let's look at two things about God's storehouse. It's unlimited and it's endless. Right? You remember the lady in the Old Testament when she when Elijah told her to go make him some cakes, and how that she kept going and the flour didn't run out and the oil didn't run out. Right? God's resources are unlimited. And so when God says that he's going to supply all of our needs, and that was the lesson that God was trying to teach the Israelites, that I got you. I'm going to take care of you. I took care of you in the wilderness. Now take this pot of manna and don't put it in the outer court. Don't put it in the holy place. But take this pot of manna and put it in the holy of holies, because I want you to remember. I don't want you to forget how I've taken care of you. And at the end of this message, I'm going to challenge all of us. And so let me follow this challenge now. What is in your Ark of the Covenant? What is in your Ark of the Covenant? Is there something in your Ark of the Covenant that encourages you to remember how God has provided for you? See, it's easy to look at now and say, well, I don't have this and I don't have that and I wish I had this and I wish I had that. It's easy for us to say that. But if we have a point of reference that we can go back to and we can say, God supplied all my needs. And here's my pot of manna right here. You know, maybe it might be one of them Kool-Aid jars with pennies in it. I don't know. You know, that might be your pot of manna. But something you can look back and see how the Lord took care of you. And how the Lord blessed you. Oh, I love this. I love this. Let me share. You can, for those of you who are tweeting, because if somebody's on their phone right now, I know the reason that you're on your phone right now is either because your Bible is on your phone, or you're saying, I know Pastor Glaze is going to say something that is tweetable. Right? So this is tweetable. And I'm going to go slow on it, because this is tweetable. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Watch this. My God, that's the bank. Not Mellon, not PNC, not Citizens. Let me say that again. I think y'all missed that, right? All right. My God is the bank. Shall supply. No, I didn't get there yet. Shall supply. That's the check. That's the check. My God is the bank. Shall supply. That's the check. All your need. That's the amount. That's the amount that you put on the check. According to his riches. See, the bank got to have something to back up that check that you write, right? And so we know that, you know, we've seen in recent days banks have gotten into trouble because they can't back up what's out there. But God, his treasure, his resources will never go bankrupt, will never run out. And with God, writes the check.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Mercy Seat from our series, Let Your Glory Fill This Place. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Ark of the Covenant, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Ark of the Covenant. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Ark of the Covenant. Or call us at 877-831-5060. The entire series, Fill This Place, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.